We'll start in 2 Corinthians, and we'll go to Galatians, which is the next book, and we're going to end up in 1 John. That's not in your bulletin, but it's on the screen for you. So, Second Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. So as a note, this is Paul writing to the people in the church of Corinth, and he's using the Macedonians as an example when he's talking to the Corinthians. Verse 2, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here's my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality, as it is written. The one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Now we'll go to the next book over, a few pages to Galatians, chapter 6. Just one verse in chapter 6, which is verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And then towards the end of your Bibles, you'll see 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, not to be confused with the Gospel of John. And we're going to turn to 1st John chapter 3, verse 16, and read through 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you to still our busy minds, our heavy hearts, our aching bones, Lord, and we come this morning to hear you, to hear your voice in this message. Lord, I pray that these words would not be mine, they'd be yours, they'd be heard that way, and that they are rooted in the truth of your word that you've given to us. Pray for those here in house this morning, I pray for those listening online, that they'd be blessed by what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I've titled the message today, The Burden Battle. And you might be thinking burdens are rough enough when they stand alone. And so now we got a battle. And yeah, we're going to talk about how they battle and how we battle with our burdens. But before we dive in, who has found themselves in this situation? And as I describe it, you might have had this happen to you this morning as you were coming into church. You and another person arrive at the same door at the same time. And so begins the door-holding battle. The first person says, go ahead. The second person says, no, you go ahead. I've got it. After you. No, I insist. I'm in no hurry. Go ahead. And so you do this little door dance, right? And eventually, person B usually gives in and finally walks through the door. And then sometimes you get to go to the next set of double doors, right? So it starts all over again. Have you all ever thought about this door-holding dance that we do with one another? Why do we insist that I just hold the door? Why can't I be the door holder? Why do we so often dig our feet into the point of near argument about who is going to hold the door for the other? Well, two things come to mind. The first is probably more common, and maybe your minds are going there, and that is that we have been taught, you know, the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Or we've been taught to use our manners and put others first. Or, you know, we've been taught to always open the door for our elders. And guys, you know the rule, open the door for the ladies. So those are all okay. There's nothing wrong with wanting to hold the door for someone, am I right? So that brings me to the second reason that sometimes we do this little dance. Our pride and maybe some unhealthy shame. So I'll dive into that in just a moment, but let me press it by saying this. We in Northwest Iowa, you've heard this before, us in Inwood, Elvord, Lester, Larchwood, everywhere in between, we are good at making sure we don't inconvenience someone else. We want to do all that we can, even if we can't really do it, in order to spare another from what we have convinced ourselves will burden them. So while person A is happily offering to hold the door open for you and is standing there, sometimes, you know, in the wind, the rain, sleet, snow, whatever else is happening, person B begins that awkward door dance because, well, person A, I don't need to inconvenience you. I can hold the door by myself. I don't need help. I don't need to be indebted to you. And that's just a simple gesture of opening and holding the door for someone. So this simple example of the door battle hopefully gets your minds rolling about this idea that we sometimes have about our burdens are being an inconvenience for others, particularly for members of the body of Christ, and how this idea has zero biblical support. I believe this thought process is rooted in a subconscious pride, or the opposite, some unhealthy shame. And that somehow our dignity might be, scathed if we are not able to hold our own or be independent or need any help of any sort. And somewhere along the line, we've heard the lie that being in need or being shorthanded or not having it all together or biting off more than we can chew, being in a financial bind, or not being able to do all the things, let alone some of the things, is a sign of weakness. And we've believed that. But it's a lie. Would you believe that in just the past 6 to 9 months in my ministry to our high schoolers, I have had more than one student say to me, I just don't want to burden you, as they're discussing what's going on in their life. Or, I just want to be a burden to anybody else. And, you know, there's the good one, I'm fine. I've dealt with it. I've carried on my own for this long. It's fine. And it's all in regards to various needs and concerns and worries that they're trying to manage and muddle through. But you see, each of us have been there, haven't we? Our youth have not learned this from a stranger. The enemy loves it when he sees us struggling on our own, all the while trying to convince us that the obvious struggle isn't something anyone else should be dealing with. I mean, you don't have to raise your hand for this, but I'm curious. Who else is with me when it comes to handling it all on your own? Who went to the store this week and pulled one of these? I got it. No, I'll get it. And you load up all those bags, and then you can't find your keys, but you figure it out, and then you get to the door, and you do an elbow to get that door open, and you shove it. I got it. Don't worry, I got that. I can do it. Not a problem. If this is a picture of you carrying your grocery bags from your car into the house or from the store to your car, let me share what the Word of God has to say for your weary soul and burdened heart today. Let's use God's Word to look at our burdens and how we can carry them in a more healthy way, or dare I say, even hand them over to somebody else who has able arms. So in the passage from 2 Corinthians this morning that we read in chapter 8, the Apostle Paul used the example of the Macedonians to explain that the giving of and the help of others, if done in the name of the Lord, is ultimately from God's goodness and generosity. So let's highlight a few things from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you have your Bibles open yet, you can kind of follow along. I'm going to be jumping here and there in 2 Corinthians, but it's mainly on your screen. So, as I mentioned, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's trying to talk to them about bearing burdens, sharing out of anything that you have with others, and he says that the Macedonians, they were going through extreme poverty. They were very poor and enduring very difficult hardships. Yet, verse 2, in the midst of a very severe trial, they still were able to well up in rich generosity. And then in they were able to well up in the rich generosity. They didn't just, find some scraps to give because I better do it. Everybody else looks like they're giving a little bit. I better too. It wasn't that way. I believe even in this verse, their overflowing joy welled up also. So then if we move on to verse 3, they gave as much as they were able. Even beyond their ability, they still gave. And then, verse 4, the Macedonians urgently pleaded with Paul and Titus, and they said, please, they were begging. They said, it is a privilege for me. It is a privilege for us to share in this service to the Lord's people. So they are person A holding the door. Maybe they hurt their arm or they're tired or they really need to get going because they're short on time. But they are able to, out of their willingness to be generous, open the door for others and give. And then I got to get to my next slide here. If we move on to verse 7, the key tagline is at the end of verse 7. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. I hadn't heard it said that way before. Paul says the grace of giving, not the guilt of receiving. So if you're thinking this is a message about, oh, we need to be more generous in our giving, we're not giving enough, there's so many burdens, you guys aren't helping enough, that's not it. It's for those of us who are burdened, we have a biblical obligation to receive what people are giving to us out of grace. And we don't need to have guilt in our receiving of somebody's giving of grace. And then in verses 8 onward, take a look at these verses more closely when you get home today. And the note I wanted to make is that people are equipped for the grace of giving because of the grace of Jesus. They're not doing it out of their own ability. It's coming from what God has done for them. And so what Jesus Christ has done for you and I should lead us to better understand the heart of our brothers and sisters and recognize that their giving, their generosity towards us when we are faced with burdens and suffering is not about what they can do for us while we struggle, but what they want to do unto God because of his sacrifice for our sins. As a member of the body of Christ, we have the desire to help the burdened, right? I will never forget when our pastor in Marshall came to visit me in the hospital after our twins were born. They were born on a Monday right before supper time by emergency C-section, and I think I've shared before that that was Monday on Tuesday. They were both flown out in separate helicopters to come to Sioux Falls, and I was still in Marshall, and it was, I mean, I was dealing with some other medical issues thanks to pregnancy and all that good stuff, and it was in that time that when Denny was in Sioux Falls tending to our babies, that our pastor had come to the hospital. I don't remember what day it was, if it was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or I didn't leave until Friday, so he came in there sometime. And in the course of our conversation, he asked, "You might not know what you need right now, but as you get reunited and back home and settled in, let us know what you need." And in my good Dutch way, "Oh, I think we've got it. We got it. We're good. Yeah, but thanks. Thanks." And it's the next line that I have not forgotten. He said, "The thing is, Anita, people want to help. The church is called to help, and it's okay to let them." And that's what this is all about. We get so hung up in the battle of our burdens and the lies of the enemy to just manage it on our own that we forget or even sometimes neglect the Word of God. The shame that we carry from the lies that we have been told about our battles and then the subsequent lies that come from the enemy needs to be confessed and then replaced with biblical truth. So, what truth? Do you know what the truth is? Anybody? The body of Christ is to, Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. So that's the truth. Carry each other's burdens. Now, what fuels this for us? What is the fuel behind bearing one another's burdens? We read that too. We read that in 1 John. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And then it goes on to say, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Friends, the burdens you are carrying are not your own. I think it is fair to say that this church and this community have been heavy burdened in the last many years. And while that is discouraging, while some of you have been lugging the same burden for years, and others of you have been lugging different burdens on different days, Do you hear God's word of truth over the lies of the enemy this morning? Do you know that your burdens are not an inconvenience to us? Do you know that you were not created to do this on your own? Do you know that the body, that this body has many parts and it was designed to work together for the good of the whole body of believers, of which you too are an intricate part of? You can check me out on 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, verse 14. God's word tells you that. And did you know that when your world is out of control and you can't think straight enough to figure out where to turn or who to call, did you know that Jesus has promised you, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my, oh, come on, burden is light. That's Matthew 11, verse 9. So church, the secret is out. We have burdens to bear. Our own, our neighbors. Come out from Satan's scheme of shame and release your grip on the burdens that you bear, because even in their weakness, people are still able to fulfill the law of Christ by the grace of giving, just as the Macedonians had done. Skip the door-holding dance and let someone hold the door open for you. It is okay and acceptable when others fulfill the law of Christ. All of God's people said, amen.